So I don't know about you guys, but a little bit of a secret about me. Sometimes I journal. I know it's something that, you know, guys don't normally do, but every now and then I'll dare to take out just my journal, and I've got a bit of scribbles. I draw a couple of cartoons. I write a couple of words in there, and just kind of what I'm thinking, what's in my heart sometimes. And I know that my wife will secretly, when I'm at work, she'll go in there and open it up and see what I've done. And when I come home, she's like more stressed than anything. She's like, your handwriting's illegible. I mean, you seriously need a counselor. Your journal's in a state. If that's what your heart looks like, boy, we're in trouble. But throughout the years, in my journal, there are these two words that often creep up. They're in the front of my mind. They're in my heart. They're like this burden I carry around with me. Just two words, and I can't get rid of them. I've tried. I've thought about it, and for some reason, they just keep cropping up. And it's just the same two words over and over and over. And I wish, you know, if one of you could give me advice and help me get rid of these two words, I'd love it. But just these two words, I mean, you want to know what they are, hey? Well, I want to invite up on stage the holiest man that I know. Lee, can you come up? Is Lee in the building? He's got to, here he comes. Lee, why don't you come and join us? Lee, you can take a seat here. I want to welcome you guys to the polygraph of heaven. It's not funny. This is dead serious. You guys get a window into the living God speaking to the holiest man I know. Now, if you're a newcomer here, I mean, Lee, he's been 40... This is not funny, Lee. 44 years, he's been in ministry. He's led four communities of faith. He's been married for 37 years. In India, you've got like a holy cow. You know, you'd never make that into stew. In South Africa, you've got Lee. Like, he's like our holy cow, yeah. You protect him with your life. I mean, to me, almost sinless. Just a holy, holy guy who has served the Lord for years and years and years. Can you imagine that? Well, Lee, today I want to take you through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, for some of you, you might know the Sermon on the Mount. You may have heard it spoken to you in chapel services at school. You may have got little individual bites. You may have had your parents as a high schooler growing up just quote you a text or two to make you feel really guilty about what you're doing. It's the kind of thing that your granny would use on you, you know, if you've been like mischievous or something. She'd just whip out the Sermon on the Mount. And many people at face value, it seems like you can make really easy applications from this Sermon on the Mount. If you open up onto page 4, in the Bibles, in front of you, there's a Bible. If you're sitting in the front row behind you, just take one. Open up onto page 4 in the New Testament. So that's sort of the middle of the Bible. In the book of Matthew. And I just want to show you its structure. So we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount. The big letters in the Bible is a chapter number. It's chapter 5. Okay, and this Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5. It then has a couple of headings. It's got an introduction, which is known as the Beatitudes, which some of you would have known from school. If you've never heard it before, that's sort of Jesus' introduction to his sermon on this mountain. Then it goes through a middle part where he speaks about the law. And then if you turn over to chapter 7, you'll see two gates, two prophets, two disciples, and two ways to build. And that's sort of the application of his sermon. And so it's one sermon. It's almost like a compressed sermon in the way that this guy Matthew, who was a tax collector, who just went up on the mountain and happened to rock up one day was part of Jesus' crew, and he sat on this mountain and listened to Jesus give this sermon, which is broken up. And it was more like a conference, but he's put it together in these three parts. And really, Matthew was sitting there, and Jesus in this sermon is trying to talk about the difference between a religious person and an authentic follower, a Christian. Not a non-Christian. I mean, if you're not a Christian and you're an atheist, you know it. That's not really dangerous. You know you want nothing really to do with the Lord, or you're thinking about it. But what's really dangerous is between the religious person and the Christian. And that's what this sermon is after. So Lee, I want to take you through the middle part of the sermon with a polygraph of heaven. And I want to ask you a few questions. And we'd love for you to answer honestly with us. And I'm going to start with the section in the beginning of the law with murder. And Lee, I just want to ask you, have you ever murdered someone? Don't answer that.
No.
Okay. Well, Lee, Jesus says this phrase. He says, but I tell you the truth. Have you ever hated your brother or sister, or harbored bitterness, or had anger, or called someone a fool in your heart? Have you ever done that, Lee? Well, Jesus says these words. He says, I tell you the truth, that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And anyone who says to his brother, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Lee, have you ever slept with someone who is not your wife?
No.
This is not funny, guys. This is the polygraph of heaven. Lee, have you ever looked at a woman who's not your wife and seen nude parts of a woman who's not your wife in some way or another and lusted after her in your heart? Well, Jesus says this, but I tell you the truth, that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for one part to be thrown away than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Lee, have you ever thought in those moments in your marriage of divorce? Have you ever thought of divorcing your wife? Well, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her a victim of adultery. Lee, have you ever made a promise to someone and not kept it? Well, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. All you need is a simple yes or no. Lee, have you ever wanted revenge? You know, just an eye for an eye, not more than an eye, a tooth for a tooth, not more than a tooth. Have you ever wanted someone to pay for more than what they've caused and hurt you? Well, Jesus says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your cloak as well. If he asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. Okay, I'm going to crank it up a little bit. Lee, do you love your enemies? The people who you do not get along with, who have caused you hurt, have caused the nation hurt, who are a real enemy of you, the church, your ministry, your life. Do you love them, Lee? The Lord says, I tell you the truth. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Lee, did you know that in chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus says, be careful, particularly to you, be very careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Because if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then he speaks about three things. Lee, have you ever prayed up here in front of us, secretly in your heart, to be applauded? Lee, have you ever fasted and let anyone know, even your wife? And Jesus says, when you fast, go to your room so that only your Father in heaven knows. Lee, when you give, have you ever secretly, when the collection bag comes past or at the robot, given so that others might look at you and think that you've done the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness in front of others. Lee, have you ever worried over your finances? Has there ever been anxiety in your heart over your money?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And last one, Lee, have you judged anyone in some way, measured them, had made an assessment on them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord says that the way that you've judged someone, to whatever degree, He's just going to play that tape recorder back and judge you by the same standards. Lee, in chapter 5, verse 20, this is what Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says. He says, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, those were the most spiritual people in town, and the teachers of the law, you will certainly never ever enter the kingdom of heaven. He gives you two options, Lee. He speaks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. He says the narrow gate, few people find it, and there is life there. He says the wide gate, many people in our culture and society choose that way, and it leads to destruction. He speaks about fraught fruit and true fruit. And I love his words, that if your fruit is fraught, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and again thrown into the fire of hell. He says there's a difference between those that actually do God's will and those that teach God's will. The most trembling words in this Sermon on the Mount at the end are, many people on that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not preach sermons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out many demons in your name? Did we not even perform miracles in your name? Lee, how will you feel on that day if the Lord looks at you and tells you plainly, get away from me. I never knew you. It's not those who teach God's law, but those who practice it.
I never knew that.
You can either take these words of mine that Jesus has spoken about and put them into practice and be like a man who builds a house on solid ground, or you can fail to practice them to the upteenth degree, and your house will be like sand, built on sand. Lee, this is the polygraph of heaven. We will all be there one day. Thank you so much for giving us a look into it tonight. And know that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you, my friend, will hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. You can go sit down. There are two words in my journal that I say more often than any. And if you're in church for the first time, and maybe you closed off there because you hate it when the preacher points the finger at you, and you hate it when someone stands up and brings the law, do you want to know what my two words are? I'm not. I'm not. I'm not moral enough. Lord, I'm not holy enough. Every time I read this sermon, I walk away saying, I'm not good enough. Or maybe you write a test or an exam and you think, I'm not clever enough. Or you've got a task through and you say, I'm not strong enough. Or there might be sports teams trials at school that I faced and remember going in and I desperately want to make the team and I'd say, I'm not good enough. Or maybe there's this boy or girl that you've really wanted to date and want them to get your to look at you and notice you, and you just, but in your soul, I'm not pretty enough. Or maybe you're a mother here tonight, and you just, I'm not patient enough. Or as many fathers, the longer you get down the road, you just, I'm not present enough. Or maybe you're on a staff team and you're youngish and you're like, I'm not old enough for this job. Or maybe you're in ministry, you know, of some kind, and you think, I'm not the right kind of preacher or leader. Imagine what Lee feels like now after reading this. Or maybe you've experienced rejection at the deepest level and you've been divorced and this guy picked up and left or this woman gone. And in your soul, the two words you feel most is, I'm not lovable. And the longer you live, and the longer it goes on, and the closer you get to that coffin, and we'll all be there one day, you just feel these words, I'm not. Now you might read this sermon tonight, and those are the words that you will feel. You should feel them. Sometimes your I'm not is legit, but generally there's a deep sense of inadequacy. There's a deep sense of vulnerability. There's just a deep sense that you just haven't got it together, and you're not, and I'm not. And you'll get some pop psychologist telling you, just believe in yourself, buddy. You know, that'll solve it. But you put your head on the pillow at night, and you breathe, and you can't get rid of those words. I'm not. Or you'll get some guy say, try harder. Try harder. Obey more. Listen to Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. Sort your life out. Try harder. I know a guy, I'm a trick guy, heard a story of his brother this weekend, and he was an SCA. He led devotions. He was a moral guy at school. New Year's Eve, he had sex with a girl. On New Year's Eve. The next day, apparently this boy, you could physically see it, went into depression. He threw in the towel. Said, that's it for me with Christianity. This is impossible. I can't do this. I'm not. He walked away from everything. He had served the Lord religiously and walked away. I bet you he felt in his soul, I'm not good enough. Or I heard about, Lee was telling me about Dr. Maxwell. When he spoke through the Sermon on the Mount, he said a lady came up afterwards. She was dressed to the nines. I mean, a blouse, white, lipstick, high heels. She walked. Apparently, she was sweating from ear to ear. I mean, she had full moons. That's how she was panicking as this sermon was unpacked. And she went to Dr. Maxwell and said, this is so hard. And apparently he said to her, hard? This is impossible. He could have said to her, lady, try harder. Get out. But he said, try harder. Now, can you imagine the writer of this book, Matthew, who's a tax collector? He worked for SARS, Nochal. Okay? He's sitting under this sermon. And the sermon ends, and he's walking down the mountain. And he's thinking, this guy is Moses on drugs. I mean, he would have known the Old Testament. He would have known that Moses spoke about the law to a community of faith. And how did they respond? The Lord said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. And if you don't, I'll scatter you. And then he says these words, I set before you two options, just like Jesus. I set before you life and death. Choose life. And they all said, yeah, I will, lekker, easy. Imagine Matthew walking down this mountain. He knows, he's thinking, but they got it wrong. And Jesus has just cranked it up. He has just taken the law and he has said, I mean, this is a nation's law. And he said, you've heard it said, but I redefine it. I tell you the truth. Someone should have killed Jesus there and then. You know, here's the new law, bud. So Matthew walks down the mountain. And I bet you he would have felt in his soul, I'm not going to be able to do that. And so I want us to open up to Matthew 8. It'll be on the screens if you don't want to open your Bibles. And I want to read from verse 1. And it says, when Jesus, he came down from the mountain after this, probably the sermon of the century that most of us are aware of. and large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Now in those days, if you were a leper, I mean, you were unclean. In fact, let me show you a picture. Just feel the weight of that. Imagine that is you. That's what you have. You're unclean. You're an outcast. You're socially unrespectable. You're untouchable. You're friendless. How do you think this leper would have felt after that sermon? In fact, let me tell you about a leper. That in Leviticus, this is what the law said for a guy like this. Anyone with leprosy must wear torn clothes and cry out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." As long as they have this disease, they remain unclean. And how's this? They must live alone and they must live outside the camp. They're not allowed in the church. Or in Numbers 5:1, the Lord said, "Send away from the camp anyone with leprosy. Send them outside the camp so that they will not defile the place where I live." Can you imagine what this leper must have thought? I'm not welcome here. I'm not part of God's people. I can't even look at them. And this guy comes to the Lord of life, with leprosy, and he kneels before him. Can you imagine what he expected? What the Lord, after a sermon like that, Jesus, the third degree, on the holiest men in town, and this leper, he knew by law, and everyone knew it. He's not allowed here. He's not even allowed in the camp. If he puts his foot in this church, and he comes to Jesus, he knew what he was in for, and he expected these words from Christ. What do you think he expected? "Depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you." Because that's what all of God's people were saying. That's what the Pharisees, the God-knowers, the holiest of holies would have been saying. But we read he kneels down. In humility, he kneels down before the Lord. And I think that Matthew has orchestrated this material as he's thought about it and he's come to know the Lord of life. And he's put this story right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, strategically placed. I think that this is why this story is here. That this physical healing, an impossible thing to do, this man could not clean himself. He could have tried anything. He physically could not have healed himself. And this physical healing, I think, is a spiritual reality for all of us tonight. I think Jesus gave Matthew, the writer of this book, a picture of himself. I think tonight he wants to give us a spiritual picture of ourselves. You may be in a position of power, prestige. You may think you have it all together, but when you sit under the law in the way that Lee did tonight, and in the holiness of God one day, let me tell you, you will feel 3 billion times worse than this leper felt. You will feel the weight of his holiness. You will feel the weight of his glory. And you will cry out in your journals, "I am not. I'm not supposed to be here." And that's why I think that this miracle is here. Martin Luther says, we must always crawl to Christ. Like this leper, we must always crawl to Christ. This is not a pity party. This is not a boo-hoo, I'm a sinner. Guys, I want to ask you tonight, have you ever felt like this? Have you felt unclean? Have you felt like that matric boy? Have you felt like you don't belong in church? Have you felt like you don't know enough? Have you felt that you're not clean enough? Have you ever felt what I feel? After you read this sermon, used wrongly, you will leave the church. I guarantee it. Some have even committed suicide after reading a text like this. But that is not the point of this Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon of the Mount, if you will hear me tonight, is to come like this leper And we read on. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Tonight, Lord, if you are willing, if you sense that in your souls, guys, if you have a sense of I'm not, hear your shepherd's words. If you are willing, Lord, you can make me clean. Notice what Jesus says. He says, Jesus reached out his hand. And I mean, this is just, you would not do this, particularly if you were claiming to be God. And he touched the man. He touched him. He touched his face. He touched the man. And he said, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. And then Jesus said, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest, which is what you would need to do, and offer a gift to Moses, as this was the gift that Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. And I think if we come tonight, if we really read the Sermon on the Mount, and we have a sense of I'm not tonight, we must hear the words of Jesus. We must read these words, clear the clutter in your heart for the first time in your life, and hear him say to you, I am willing. I'm the living God, and I know that you have failed me, but I am willing. Be clean. Don't try clean yourself. Don't try heal yourself. You are not worthy to be in my presence. I'm not able to dwell with you, but I am willing to make you clean. Be clean. That is what the Lord says to us tonight. That's what the Lord says to you, Lee. That's what the Lord says to me. That is our hope. I'm willing. Be clean. And we need to remember this. We need to remember how impossible it is to obey this Sermon on the Mount. We need to remember as we read it, step by step, word by word, we will start feeling like this leper. We need to have a sense tonight that we will crawl back to Christ and say, Lord, if you are willing, and he says, I am willing. I mean, friends, could you think of better words if Jesus said to you tonight, I am willing, be clean. And so I want to take you back to the introduction of the Sermon on the Mount, all the way back to chapter 5. And that's the point of what we call the Beatitudes. And I want you to read it through the eyes of the leper. This is not something the leper has to be. It's the something that he is. If you're spiritually bankrupt and you have a sense of this tonight, this is what will come out of your soul. And Jesus says these words. Imagine you're the leper and this is what you'd be reading spiritually. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What would he have been? Poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn. I don't think a day would have gone by where he wouldn't have mourned. For they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. For they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Can you imagine how merciful this man would have been? For they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that are sincere, that genuinely come to this holy God and say, Lord, make me clean. For they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. No sense of entitlement, no title, no, I'm the boss, I'm the CEO, I'm the director of this and this company. But a peacemaker, for they will be called children of God. How do you know tonight that Jesus is not like the Old Testament interpretation? How do you know that he's the fulfillment? How do you know that he's willing to clean you? Maybe you think the Old Testament's then contradictory, which is what I thought. But we have tonight to look at the cross because Jesus touched this man and healed him because he knew where he was going. Jesus knew that he would become unclean for us. Jesus knew that he would be treated like a spiritual leper. In fact, in Hebrews it says, he was killed outside the camp. You and I tonight become an insider. You and I can hear those words tonight. I mean, really hear them. Be clean. Be forgiven. Be healed. You're touchable. Be in a friendship with your Father in heaven. Because I became unclean. Because I was cast out. And so those two words that have run in my journal for years and years, I'm not. When you come before the cross and you look at what Jesus became, you hear the Lord saying to you tonight, you are. Not because you have anything in you, not because you can obey the law, not because you can heal yourself. You move it to the next slide, but he says, you are because of me, because of what I've done. I'm willing to make you clean. So guys, I really hope that as you read the Sermon on the Mount, you don't leave the Lord or forsake him or interpret it wrongly, because I think Matthew would have seen what the Lord did to that leper on that day. And I hope you will see it tonight and you will hear those words, be clean, I am willing. And I pray that you would humble yourselves tonight and you would come to him, and as the worship team comes up, and you would kneel down again in your hearts and you would say, Lord, if you're willing, would you make me clean? And he will. He is willing. The cross shows that. It testifies that to us. Let's pray together. Lord, we feel that we are not worthy to be in your presence. And we feel when we read the law and the Sermon on the Mount that we have sinned and that we have broken your law and that we have rebelled against you, either willfully or not, Lord. Some of us have tried to live up to this law and yet it is impossible. Lord, when we sit in the polygraph of heaven one day, I pray, Lord, that we would have this hope and that you, Lord, tonight, as we kneel before you again, would say these words to us in our heart of hearts, be clean. That you'd say, you are my child, you are forgiven, you are welcome to be in the presence of God. You are welcome to be my follower. You are welcome to be my friend. Because I'm willing to go to the cross for you to clean you. Lord, please help us have a sense of that tonight and a sense of you. Heal us, we pray. Do the impossible, Lord, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen.